Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
He is one of the best in the business. Nobody covers college football better. The great Kirk Herbstreit with the Bull and the Fox on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Kirk, how are you? Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, happy to be with you guys. How you doing?
We're doing great, and we're excited about this tonight. Dustin's been talking about it all day. We had Mike Doss on with us last hour. They were having so much fun. Are you excited to broadcast tonight?
I probably watched it, I don't know, 12 to 15 times over the last, I don't know, what's it been, 18 years now. So
yeah.
It always seems fresh and new, and the fact that Dustin's going to be part of a group that's going to be kind of chirping in between quarters and kind of reminiscing with some of his teammates, I think, is a lot of fun. So I'm fired up. Yeah, I can't wait to watch.
You know, it's funny, Herbie. I've never watched it from start to finish. This will be the first time tonight. And
what?
I haven't. I've seen bits and pieces. You know, I've got memories from the game. I don't know why I've gone and just watched it. I just haven't. So I'm there's got to be so many plays in this game that I've forgotten. That's why I'm pumped. And we're going to do the live tweeting
now,
and stuff
is
tonight.
Is that common? Because you guys had a pretty good run in your era. Is that pretty common for you? Like, is it just that game or
I don't know.
The games that you played in?
I think it's most of the games. I mean, I've certainly gone back and watched, you know, certain plays that I've made. Like, I've watched my interception in that game 100,000 times. I've watched, you know, me causing Roscoe Parrish to fumble or whatever. Good plays here and there. But, you know, there's things that I've forgotten about our offense or whatever. And I played that. I don't know if you know this, but, like, I've told the story on our air a few times. You know, I played that game basically with a concussion the whole time because I first quarter, I blitz off the edge. McGahee blasts me, stonewalls me. And I kind of, like, saw stars and, like, the whole game's kind of a blur. So tonight, I'm really looking forward.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Wow.
And there was a play, and you'll see, I mean, the first touchdown pass, Roscoe Parrish that runs a little skinny post on Doss, it was supposed to be me on coverage. And I forgot the call, and so I'm on the backside, like, on the nub on Winslow, and Doss is yelling at me. And of course, Doss is not, you know, a man coverage guy. He's a great, strong safety, three-time All-American. But I hung him out to dry on that play. He was
wow.
So mad at me. And you know, I think back to the game, and I don't have a lot of memories. You know, they asked us on the Zoom call this week, you know, what do you remember from halftime? I'm like, I couldn't tell you, man. You know, so I'm looking forward to kind of catching up and watching
this. But see, that's what I'm talking about is all of us besides you have watched this game. You know, we've watched it. You know, you get into the off season, you're missing college football. Next thing you know, you're flipping it around. Hey, what do you know? It's on ESPNU or ESPN Classics. You know, I'm one of these guys. It's the 12th time I've watched it. You know, so we've
right.
all watched it. But to be able to watch it and get background stories like what you just shared,
right.
that'll just add to it to me. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I want to hear the Miami guys talk tonight too, because I know, you know, when we did our call on Tuesday night where we taped our segments, you know, Doss is like chirping at Vilma, and you know, C. Grant played with Vilma with the Saints and stuff, so you know, they have some banter with those guys. I want to hear their thoughts on the, you know, the penalty.
Well, it's almost all going to come down
right
to that. You and I were texting. The noise doesn't seem to be as loud from Ohio State. You know, if you get on social media, I'm sure it is, but when you ask this to your average Ohio State Miami, they think, oh, they had a pass interference call. They blew that call. they don't bring up, you know, not only Gamble. See, you showed me a video of Gamble being held on third down. I was standing just to the left of the 25 of the players, you know, boxed area. I was like at a 24-yard line, right where Krenzel was scrambling to his right. And so when he threw that ball, I had a vantage point right down the sideline like a referee, and I thought it was a given that he caught the ball and he was in bounds. I know it happened fast, but from that vantage point, you could see that he got his leg, like lower leg, almost knee down, was in, and it would have been first down, and, you know, you're three knees and the game's over. But instead, it's incomplete, and Ohio State has to punt, and Roscoe Parrish goes almost to the house to set up eventually the game-tying field goal. But you just don't hear the same kind of noise about that, because if that would have been called correctly,
game over.
He would have been in bounds, game's over. There is no pass interference discussion or debate. So, and I'm not saying that as Joe Buckeye. I'm just saying that it's factual. That's the reality. If we're going to talk about missed calls, you might as well start with that one. So, but no, man, these kind of discussions, and you know, I've been doing what I do for a long time. And the year before, I don't know if people remember in 01, but Miami had an incredible team in 01 with Ed Reed and all these talented guys.
Clinton Portis.
And they bumped into Nebraska, who kind of back ended. They lost the Big 12 championship game, got blown out. But everybody lost that year, and nobody was standing at the end of the BCS except Miami, and they ended up taking Nebraska. And Nebraska, it should have been 70-0. I mean, they just blew them out, right, against Eric Crouch. Well, the very next year is Ohio State against a lot of those same Miami players. And I think that they, you know, I know they respected you, but I think they had been reading their press clippings a bit much, and not, I don't think they assumed the athletic ability and the potential of the team that came out of the locker room. I think they were thinking it was going to be much like what happened at the end of the 01 year when they played Nebraska.
Were you confident as a fan, Kirk, and as an alum, as a former player, were you confident that they could win the game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, not most people, but there's a vocal minority of people, they hate me because I say what I think, as opposed
to... Everybody should love you for that.
I mean, instead of just always saying great things about Ohio State or always picking Ohio State, but I did say that Ohio State was about to shock the world and pull off the upset, and the only reason I felt that is because when you get into these long layoffs, 45, 50 days, whatever it is, these long layoffs, when one team hears about how great they are and the other team hears about how they don't have a chance, I always felt people underestimated. The media has to write about something, and they have to meet with these players for over a month. How are you going to stop Dorsey? How in the world are you going to stop McGahee? How do you stop Winslow? Oh, man, did you hear what they said on ESPN? Nobody's giving you a chance. You sit there and hear that over and over and over, and you show up by the time you get ready to play, you're just in a bad mood. So I really counted on that. And I think that and the fact that I think Miami underestimated the athletic ability of what Ohio State had to offer, especially on defense. But 06 year was very similar, but opposite. It was Ohio State and Teddy Ginn and Troy Smith hearing about how great they were, and Florida and Urban Meyer hearing about how they don't have a chance, Michigan should be in the game, why are you even here? And so it went in the other direction for Ohio State in 06. But in 02, man, especially early in that game, I was so stoked for Dustin and for that Mike and those guys. I was standing right there, and Will Smith was getting pressure, and Wilhelm was making plays, and Dustin's getting a pick, and Mike's getting a pick, and I'm like, Miami all of a sudden is going over to the sideline thinking, oh, my God, like these dudes are real. Like this, you can almost just like see their facial expressions. Dustin, you don't remember the game much from that hit, I guess, but I know from standing there that Dorsey and those guys were looking at each other like, wait, whoa. This isn't part of the plan. This is not supposed to be happening to us right now. I mean, they had Andre Johnson, Roscoe Parrish, Kellen Winslow. They were loaded with skill on that offense.
Yeah, you know what's funny is, and we talked about this on some of the broadcasts tonight, and even we did some stuff with Ben Hartsock for Big Ten Radio. You know, we looked at that defensive line. You know, the first play of the game, and you'll see it tonight again when you watch it back, we sacked Ken Dorsey, okay? It was KP, Kenny Peterson, Will Smith. They got into him so fast. And I do remember this from the game, because those dudes, and you brought it up, they looked shell-shocked. Like, they couldn't believe that Ron Berg and those guys in that offensive line looked like, oh, my God, we're in for a dogfight. And you look back at that season, you know, when they who they played, they never got tested, ever. They won every game by 30 points. Every play is a chunk play. Ken Dorsey, with his long, loose sleeves, never got hit. They were white at the start of the game. They were white at the end of the game. Like, he never hit the ground. You know what I'm saying? And he, when we hit him, and we hit him all day. And, you know,
I don't think of that D-line. Darian Scott, Tim Anderson, Kenny Peterson, young Smith. Simon Frazier. I mean, that was a group. Great rotation, great depth. Will Smith is just such a dominant. I mean, he's a great pro, obviously, but as a collegiate player,
he was so good, off
the charts talented.
Yeah, and that's what tonight's about. I mean, so we're pumped to do it. I know maybe you'll have some tweets tonight, and they're going to do the scroll on the bottom of the screen and the behind the scenes stuff. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they came up with from that call or from that. So,
yeah, I've been a part of. It's really a nice idea that ESPN's had with these kind of throwback games, and Fowler and I have been doing some of it. What you guys did for tonight, you know, you just kind of go back to like we did one with Dabo when Deshaun Watson and Clemson ended up finally beating Alabama, climbed that mountain and beat him at the end of 16 season. And there have been some great games to look back on. And I think we did one with Ohio State and Michigan as well, going back to – it might have been the same year. It might have been 16 as well, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And just it's just, you know, in the midst of this, what we're all dealing with, we all, you know, those of us who follow sports and love sports, I know how badly I miss sports, like live action of any kind. I'm dialed in on even NASCAR. I've never watched NASCAR race in my life, and it's like it's something that's live. You know, I'll watch it, but reminiscing and watching some of these old college football games has helped me get through the last 8 weeks for sure.
We're talking with the college football analyst from the Ohio State, Kirk Herbstreit, with us. Kirk, you talk about, you know, having no live sports. I know you're a big Reds fan. You know, I'm a huge baseball fan and you know, so frustrated by what's going on. I'm on the side of the players. I usually am in these things. But no, neither side looks good here. And if they don't play because of money, what a disaster
that would be
in this situation.
Yeah, and I haven't looked at the particulars. I mean, from what I've heard from Scherzer and some of these players, I mean, it's almost like a laughable what they looked at. You know, you would hope that both the owners and the players association would be able to get together and say, guys, we got to figure this thing out and figure it out fast, because let's take care of each other but let's not get into your typical contract dispute. I mean, the country needs major, but if they are able to cross that bridge, and now it's just down to the finances, that's just a bad look for a sport that desperately needs some good PR. Like, they just can't get out of their own way. And I'm a baseball guy, but these other sports over the last 20 years seem to have figured things out, the right way to do things, and there's baseball just being pulled in the back, you know, through the mud. And meanwhile, lacrosse numbers for participation for the youth in Northeast Ohio, Central Ohio, even down where I live in Tennessee, going through the roof, and kids going out for baseball is continuing to dwindle. And you think it's things like this, when it comes to PR nightmares at the very top, they should be setting an example instead of getting into an argument over the finances. Like, that's like the last thing that they should be worried about. But hopefully they'll figure this thing out, and we'll get some baseball at some point.
And I think you're red a shot if they play. I mean, the Cubs, Cardinals, and Brewers have all kind of taken a step back.
They got a great starting eight. Their rotation is what has been missing since they lost Edison Volquez and Cueto and that group that they had. I mean, they had a really good 1-2-3 punch, and they've just been kind of piecemealing it together over the last 5 or 6 years. And I think it's six losing seasons. And if you're a old school Reds fan, you're used to a down year would be finishing second in the division, right? I mean, it's just the way you feel like it always will be. And I always feel like Cincinnati, there, when you think of Cincinnati, you think of the Reds. And with all due respect to LeBron and the Indians, when I think of Cleveland, I think of the Browns, you know. And right. and I think, right. you know, the city of Cincinnati is desperate to have, you know, baseball back, of course, you know, a chance to finally have a team, at least on paper, that looks like it could compete. So, like I said, hopefully they'll figure this out, and we'll be debating over real issues, which we should be doing right now.
Kirk Herbstreit joins us on the hotline. Kirk, last thing here before we let you go. I know you're tired of probably talking about what college football is going to look like in the fall.
Yeah.
If it comes back, but like it changes daily. You talk to more people than anybody. You're the voice of college football, so we respect your opinion. I'm curious what you think we'll see in the fall with college football.
I think as of right now, all arrows are pointing to having a season. And in fact, at this point, starting on time. I think the next 4 to 6 weeks are pivotal as far as that's concerned, as the states are freeing things up and reopening. I think the college decision makers, you know, they're privy to the only information that they have is the local authorities and the decisions that they make. So as Cleveland and Columbus and, you know, all over the country, as it opens up, are the cases going to spike back up, or is there going to be another wave? Is there going to be all kinds of concerns and everybody's going to retreat back? Because let's face it, when you decide to go forward, whether it's college football, whether it's the NFL, MLB, NHL, whoever it is, you're going to get positive cases. I mean, they're going to be testing, you know, three times a week. And you're going to be, at the very least, you're going to be getting a lot of positive tests. What do you do when you get a positive test? I mean, the NBA got a positive test, asymptomatic, and they shut the whole operation down. Well, now here we are 3 months later. What have we learned? How can we continue if there are some players that test positive? What if there's assistant coaches that test positive, that are a little bit older? You know, that's my biggest concern, to be honest with you, is the assistants, the coaches, the support staff. You know, all of course we're worried about the players, but as we've seen based on the data, the players, you know, typically, according to the numbers that I've looked at, and I have two kids that play at Clemson, and everyone asks me, are you concerned? I have a lot of faith in what they're going to do at a place like Clemson and everything, you know, the way they're going to follow the guidelines that have been taught to them, not just the players, but the people that are setting those parameters. So I'm very confident, not only as a parent, but as a guy who loves the game, that they're going to do everything they can to protect the players, but there are going to be positive tests. And when that happens, I think that they're still kind of sorting out how they're going to react to that. Because at one point it was, if your starting quarterback, or let's say any quarterback, tests positive, he's quarantined for 14 days, and anybody who's been in contact, close contact with him, is quarantined as well for 14 days. So does that mean the entire quarterback room now is quarantined for 14 days? So that was data that was told to me 2 weeks ago. So maybe that's changed by now. But those are things you got to think about as you try to put this thing back together.
Herbie, unbelievable, man. We appreciate the time so much. Thank you for joining us. It's great to have you on.
Hey, anytime. Love to join you guys. Have a lot of fun tonight. And, Dustin, I'm sure you and I will be texting back and forth.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, appreciate it, Herbie.
All right,
thanks
man.
So much, man.
All right, fellas.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.